God wanted mankind to be able to come and commune with him, just like Adam and Eve had before the fall. He invited us, but first he had to make a way for sinful man to come to him, a holy God. So he sent Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." But how was he going to save us? There was only one way. John 19:17-19 says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Come with us to Calvary."
Dying Lamb of God. wrong nor evil knew. No harm by him was done. His deeds were good, his words were true. He was the sinless one. Behold the Lamb of God, the dying Lamb of God. Our ransom he on Calvary. Behold the Lamb of God. He pays redemption's awful price, the price of blood alone. He is the perfect sacrifice, no other can atone. Behold the Lamb of God, the dying Lamb of God. Our ransom he on Calvary. Behold the Lamb of God.
There were many who had come to behold the one dying on the cross. Matthew 27:36 says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." Some came to mock. Matthew 27 goes on to tell us, "They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And likewise, also the chief priests were mocking him with the scribes and elders." Some came to mourn like Jesus' mother, other women, and his disciple John. But there was one man there who hadn't come willingly. He was there because of bad choices, sinful choices he had made in his life. He too was beholding the man on the cross beside him. Luke 23, verses 39 through 43 say, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' Come with us and hear the dying thief."
Thief upon the cross, in the shadow of Calvary's tree. Years I have wasted in sin and dross, but my Savior now dies for me. In agony I feel his pain. His cross stands next to mine. I suffer, yet it brings none gain, but his suffering is divine. Ne'er had such love as his been known, who upon earth's dusty roads hath trod. My heart is persuaded to make him my own, for truly this is the Son of God. I am death guilty, it is my sin that has nailed me upon this tree. But he who dies on yonder cross ne'er commits committed iniquity. But hark, 'tis finished, now he cries, who suffers in my stead? The guiltless for the guilty dies, for me his blood is shed. O blessed Lord, remember me in thy great kingdom of heaven divine. May my soul be cleansed and my heart set free. For by thy grace is salvation mine.
John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Luke 23:44-46. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Come with us and hear his cry of victory. Luke 23:50-52-56. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Come with us to the tomb.
The women were understandably confused. They expected to see a sealed tomb containing the body of Jesus. They came, prepared to anoint the body. That is, after someone rolled the stone away for them. But that's not what they found that morning. Matthew 28:1-7 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. John 20 tells us that Mary Magdalene went to tell Peter and John that their Lord's body was not in the tomb. They both ran to the tomb, and verse 8 tells us that John saw and believed. Come with us to see the empty tomb.
I followed Jesus to the cross. I saw his bleeding side, and there upon Mount Calvary. hope within me died. I followed Jesus to the grave and cried in deep despair. I fell before the garden tomb and wept in sorrow there. I saw the stone was rolled away. I heard a voice that said, "The Lord of glory, whom ye seek, is risen from the dead. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb."
Proclaiming to all doubting men, he lives to
he lives. The gospel tells us that the women saw Jesus that day. Matthew 28:9 says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came to him and held him by the feet and worshipped him. He appeared to his disciples that same night." John 20:19-20, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." We are told in 1 Corinthians 15:6 that Jesus was seen of more than 500 people at one time. Come with us and see the risen Lord.
On Calvary's mountain our Savior died, mocked and rejected and crucified. A soldier's spear pierced in his side. It is finished, he loudly cried.
Jesus completed the work he came to earth to do, and now salvation is available to all who will accept his invitation to come. Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Have you accepted this invitation to come? For you see, he is not only the crucified Savior who was buried in a borrowed tomb. He is not only the risen Lord who came out of the tomb triumphantly to seal the way of salvation to those who will come. He is the coming King. Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly." Are you ready to meet the coming Lord? Come with us as we joyfully anticipate the Lord's return.
One day when sin was as black as could be.
Standing beside the empty tomb. And silhouetted on the horizon, on the hill above, stood an old rugged cross. Just a couple of days before, it had been an object of great sorrow. But now that the tomb was empty, it gave the cross an entirely different perspective. The cross was supposed to be the end. The priests and the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to put him to death, John 11:53. They took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, Matthew 27:1. They persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas instead of Jesus, Matthew 27:20. They convinced the people to cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." From what I understand, at least 5 different occasions they cried, "Crucify him." They couldn't wait for him to die. He's hanging on the cross. And I know the next day was the Sabbath day, and they didn't want people hanging on the cross on the Sabbath day. It wouldn't be the first time that the Roman soldiers had people hanging on a cross on the Sabbath day. But they went to Pilate and said, "Would you please break their legs and make sure they die?" They just couldn't wait for him to die. And then for some reason, they were really concerned about his message that on the third day he would rise again, so they posted guards at the tomb and sealed it with Pilate's authority. Then the soldiers witnessed the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." And this is what the Roman soldier saw. Can you imagine being a Roman soldier immersed in idolatry and pagan religion and seeing one of God's angels come down from the sky. And he is like lightning, and his raiment is shining. He's just come from the glory of God. Remember how Moses' face shined because he was so close to God? This angel obviously had just come from the presence of God. God says, send the angel down. It's time for the resurrection. And the angel just comes down from the sky. Where did he come from? And this massive stone that took several men to roll into place, the angel just kind of casually rolls it away. And then almost humorously sits on the stone. The Roman soldiers were so frightened. They saw it. They saw it. They saw it happen. They fell down on the ground as if they were dead. They became frozen. So the Roman soldiers go not to their superior officer. They go to the chief priests and tell them what they saw. Did the chief priest believe them? I think so. But they couldn't stand for it. So they bribed them, gave them large money. I don't know how much large money is, but it must have been a substantial amount. And then told them to spread the lie that his body had been stolen. They did that. But these priests had considered the cross their mark of triumph. He's dead. What did they think of the cross now? I wonder how many of them actually went to the tomb and looked in. The empty tomb gave the disciples a whole new perspective on the cross. Instead of a period on the end of a sentence, it became a comma. It was in the middle of the sentence. The sentence was yet to be finished, and it was finished with the resurrection. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, we're told, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why the cross? Because it was on the cross, Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. That's where we were reconciled to God. It's where, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, that he made peace through the blood of his cross. And according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. But I tell you, if it wasn't for the resurrection, the cross would have had no power. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Our preaching of the cross is vain if he be not risen. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. There are some people today who call themselves Christians who portray Christ as being on the cross. They seem to worship his death more than his resurrection. Jesus' work on the cross is immensely important to us, but it would mean nothing and accomplish nothing if he had not risen from the dead. Today we stand at the empty tomb. We see that Jesus is not there, for as the angel said, he is risen. And as we stand at the empty tomb, we look back at the hill called Golgotha, and we see that old rugged cross, and just like the tomb, it's empty. It's empty because he finished the work of redemption. And the tomb is empty because he conquered death by his resurrection. Jesus lives, and so shall I. Death, thy sting is gone forever. He for me hath deigned to die, lives the bands of death to sever. He shall raise me from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and reigns supreme, and his kingdom still remaining, I shall also be with him, ever living, ever reigning. God has promised, be it must. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, and by his grace, victory o'er my passions giving, I will change my heart and ways ever to his glory living. Me he raises from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, and I know full well naught from him my heart can sever. Life, nor death, nor powers of hell, joy, nor grief, henceforth forever, none of all his saints is lost. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, and death is now but my entrance into glory. Courage then, my soul, for thou hast a crown of life before thee. Thou shalt find thy hopes are just. Jesus is my hope and trust. In the 1930s, there was a preacher named Alfred Ackley. During a time of evangelistic meetings he was holding, a young Jewish student asked the question, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" Using the scriptures to witness to him, Pastor Ackley began to explain to this young man how that Jesus was alive. He lives. I tell you, he is not dead, but lives here and now. Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before. I can prove it by my own experience, as well as the testimony of countless of thousands. The thought of our resurrected Savior was on his thoughts after that conversation. As he prepared for his Easter sermon, the thought became even more present. On that resurrection day, he rose early to prepare. Ackley turned on his radio. He was then shocked to hear a liberal preacher say something like this: "You know, it really doesn't matter to me if Christ be risen or not. His body could have turned to dust long ago in some Palestinian tomb. But what's important is that his truth goes marching on." "It's a lie," Pastor Ackley yelled. He was worked up by what he had heard, and it mixed with his continual thoughts of the scripture. "He lives, I tell you. He's not dead, but lives here and now." Ackley preached with great fervency both that morning and evening on the realization of the Lord's resurrection. But later that night, he still could not shake the question of that young Jewish student and the words of that liberal preacher. It was then that his wife encouraged him to do something about it. His wife said to him, "Why don't you write a song about it, and then maybe you'll feel better?" Wives are so helpful. "Then you will have something that will go on telling the story." Reverend Ackley, in telling the story later, said that he preached that Easter Sunday quite differently than he had ever preached before, but at the end of the day, still felt that he had not yet said everything he wanted to say. He went to his study, turned again to the resurrection story, and reread the words, "He is not here, for he is risen." He then began to write. As the words flowed from him, in moments, he was at the piano adding music to the words he'd been inspired to write. "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he is always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? Say it. He lives within my heart." Hymn number 377. Get ready to sing it.